In some respects, I've got an easy message for you today. Easy message. I don't finish sentence yet. On the other hand, it might be a challenge. We're going to start off in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart. We've all got one. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I've just said that we've all got a heart. Has anybody not got a heart? I know some of us think that we've got hearts like swinging bricks, but we haven't. We've all got the old blood pump that pumps blood round our bodies, and if it didn't pump blood round our bodies, it would be all over, because our life is in our blood. Amen. The minute we have no blood, the minute our heart stops beating, it's all over. And the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So what am I saying? Am I saying that we're all evil people and we're all horrible, nasty folks? By nature, as Grace has just said, by nature, yes we are. By nature, we are. You know that when you start wanting to do your own thing, you know that it's not always conceived up here, it's conceived in here. We want our own way. We know what's right for us, and it doesn't matter what anybody says, I'm going to have my own way. Whether my own way is right or not, doesn't matter, I'm going to have my own way. I've had these conversations with Andrew before. A long, long time ago, I've studied his carpet. I can tell you everything about their carpet. Yeah, we've sat there till 4 o'clock in the morning ignoring him. I will have my own way. But the heart is deceitful. And when we sort out the problems that we've got with our heart, God can take control. God's headquarters is in our heart. When God speaks to you, he speaks to your heart. He doesn't speak to your head. You might take it in through your head. You'll use your brain to reason things out. But as you start reasoning things out and start working things out for yourself, you know that 9 times out of 10, what you actually do is you dig a bigger hole. You create more problems. You get more wound up. As you start thinking about what's what, and what's right, and what's not right, your brain goes into overdrive. But your heart suffers. Even at the beginning of this service, my brain was in overdrive, took time out to have a word with Andrew, because we have a problem in our family at the moment, and it was affecting my heart. It was affecting my concentration. And I knew I'd got to speak. And when I walked in through those doors today, I could not have stood here. Because this was taking over. And this is not where God lives. God lives in here. God speaks from your heart. God wants to work on your heart. You want to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you want to be set free from the turmoils and the troubles that you've got in your life, you need your heart sorting out. And there's only one way to get your heart sorted out properly, and that's with the Word of God. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, towards the end of that, I think it's 16. Yeah, 1 Samuel chapter 16, towards the end of verse 7, it tells us that the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For a man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. When we want to choose somebody for employment, or we want to choose our friends, you might be attracted to somebody because they look nice. You might be attracted to somebody because they've got smart clothes on. You might be attracted to somebody because they've got loads of money. You might be attracted to somebody just because they've been nice to you. You're attracted to people for lots and lots of different reasons. But God is attracted to you because of what's in your heart. God does not necessarily care what you look like physically. Because if you look like the back end of a tram smash, God can help you. God doesn't care whether your body's broken and decrepit, and I don't get that in the wrong sense, because ultimately he does care because he wants to heal you. But that is not where he looks at. He doesn't look at the state of your physical body because he can fix it. Isn't that right, Andrew? And we're believing that God's going to fix Andrew. We're not having an operation, we're having divine health. When he goes to the doctors next time, the MRI is going to reveal three nice new discs. In the name of Jesus, we're going to be set free from the world system, and we're going to live in God's kingdom. And we're going to have God's freedom in our lives. So God doesn't care what your body's like, because he can fix it. He created it in the first place. He knows how to fix it. If you make some of it, you know where it's, you know, you've got more chance of finding out where it's wrong, haven't you? Than if you, you know, if I sort of think, oh look, Claire's got a problem, let's see if I can mend that arm now, then where shall I start? God knows where to start, he made it. Right? God knows where to start, where your sin problem's concerned. We've all had a sin problem, and we all have still got a sin problem. Because we've been giving our lives to Jesus doesn't mean that we don't sin anymore. What it means is that we're more conscious of when we do. And we still need to be forgiven. We still need to come to God on a daily basis and say, oh God, I've messed up. Please forgive me, I'll try not to do it again. And you know very well that the next day you're probably going to do the very same thing again. But it's what's in your heart. Your heart is that you don't sin. Your heart is that you want to be free. You want to worship and praise God. And you want to be the man or the woman that God created you to be. Why should the devil push us around all the time? He did not create us. He is not the creator. He is the liar, the thief, and the one that's here to kill and destroy. If you want to work with a liar, a thief, and be killed off and destroyed, you'll go and work for the devil. And I hope you're very happy together. But if you want to be set free, if you want to be healthy, if you want to have a great life, if you want to be prosperous, if you want to live a life of faith that's fulfilling, and it might not always mean that you've got loads of money in your pocket, but it will mean that your needs are met. I haven't got millions of pounds in the bank, but my needs are met, and I've not been to work for 18 months. And that's not to boast. Because my needs are met according to his riches in glory. And don't think I'm sat down on my backside all the time, not doing any work, because I am working. I'm just not working for somebody that pays any money. All right? Because when God sets you free, God sets you up and enables you to have your needs met. But it's up to you to make sure that you are right with God and that your heart is where it should be. Psalm 51, please. Psalm 51, verses 10 to 13. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Create in me a clean heart. If God has to create in you a clean heart, it suggests that perhaps your other heart's a little bit dirty. Or perhaps it's more than a little bit dirty. Perhaps it's filthy. Perhaps it's minging. You know, we all know the condition of our own hearts, what it was before we gave it to the Lord. But God can create in us a clean heart. We don't have to live like we're living now. We don't have to live like we did in the past. And as we grow closer and closer to God, we can still get cleaner and cleaner. We're never perfectly clean until the ultimate cleanliness, and then we're gone. We can still have God creating in us a cleaner heart day by day. The question is, do we want a cleaner heart? And renew a right spirit within me. Your spirit needs to be renewed. It needs to be renewed every day. It needs to be renewed moment by moment sometimes. because it's easy to get put off track, isn't it? It's easy when something crops up that you don't like. Not having that. Who do they think they are? What do they think's going off? That's not going to happen. I'm not having that. Natter, 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 whinge, 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 moan, moan, moan. I'm in charge, I'm not having that. With my phone, I'll tell them. I'll give them a bit of my mind. No, they don't need it. They don't need a bit of your mind. They've got enough of their own. They've got enough troubles in mind they've got. They don't need your mind problems as well. You know? We need to have a heart that's recreated by God and a new spirit. A spirit that's revived, that's renewed, that's set free, that gives us some real life, something real to focus on. Something that's going to make us happy and that's going to be beneficial to everybody else around us. Who knows that if you are miserable, everybody around you is miserable? If you go home tonight and everybody in your house is miserable, even if you walk in through the door as happy as Larry, do you think you're going to be happy all night, or do you think it's going to be long before you're miserable? What's going to happen? Now, you can make that decision. You could go home tonight, and maybe some of you will, and when you get home, there will be miserable people in your house. The question is, are you going to affect them, or are they going to affect you? You have that choice to make, and you have the power, in the name of Jesus, to change the atmosphere around you. And if you don't like the atmosphere, you change it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence. If you've got to ask God not to cast him away from your presence, it suggests that there might be a problem that could separate you from God. And we all know that sin, God cannot look on. And that sin will separate you from God. So, even if you've been set free, even if you've given your life to the Lord, if you've got sin in your life, you still need to get confessing and get it out of there so that you're not separated with God. God cannot look upon sin. That was why God did not look at Jesus when Jesus died on the cross. God could not look on that sin until Jesus had paid the price. And we can be set free by reminding God, hey God, Jesus paid the price for my sin at Calvary, and I'm going to tell you what to do about it in a few minutes. Because if you don't know how to get rid of your sins, if you don't know how to be forgiven, I'm going to tell you later on this afternoon. The good news is that there is a way. Amen. Your life's in a mess, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. If your life is in a mess, there is an answer this afternoon in Jesus. God has provided a way of escape. God has provided what you need for your life to make you whole. The question is, what do you need? God's got the answer. What do you need? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If you look around church, do you see much joy in salvation? Is there any joy? Is there any joy in my salvation? Is there any joy in your salvation? Or is it a hard job to be a Christian? Is it a struggle and a stressful life? Is it a pain being a Christian? Do you get up in the morning and think, phew, I've got to be a Christian again today? Or do you get up in the morning rejoicing because you know that no matter what you face that day, that God is with you? Amen. Doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter what goes wrong, God is with you. Amen. Jesus has provided what you need. Everything that you need, God has provided. You don't have to get up being miserable. And if you do get up miserable, there is a way for you to escape that. There is a way for you to cheer yourselves up. Delight thyself in the Lord. If we now look at Hebrews in chapter 4. I'm just finished Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Wilkinson swords haven't got it all wrapped up. They think that they're sharp, but they're not all that sharp, and they go blunt eventually, don't they? But this one doesn't go blunt ever. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Joints and marrow are very, very close together, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the word of God can get in between something that's that tight. The word of God, it doesn't matter how close the evil and the good is together, God can separate one from the other and set you free. And it tells you that the word of God is also a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now steady on a minute. Thoughts and intents of the heart. Thinking with your heart. I thought with my head. Well, you've been doing too much thinking. Because you can think with your heart as well as you can with your head. Joan and I, when we go home, nearly every Sunday of late, We have to bind it before we get in the car some days, don't we? Nearly every Sunday, you'll get somebody tries to take us out on the same roundabout. Usually they're in the wrong lane, or they come whizzing up the side they're not supposed to come up. And who knows what could come out of your heart if you're not careful. Yeah. The thought doesn't come in your head, oh you idiot. The thought comes in your heart, you know, you stupid fool, get out of my way. And that thought comes from in your heart, not from your head. So you think with your heart as well as your head. Some of the best thoughts come out of your heart, and so do some of the worst ones. Remember that first verse we read, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Your heart can be deceitful and desperately wicked, and some of these thoughts come out of that place. You get your heart right, and you get your heart sorted, and you get your heart, you know, on God's line, what comes out of your heart isn't what used to come out of your heart. Some of the words and expressions that came out of my heart and mouth a number of years ago before I knew the Lord, when people cut me up on the road, are not the same thoughts and words that come out of my heart now. And you all know what I'm saying there. You know that as you get closer to God, that he modifies your heart, he modifies your conversation, and he sets you free. That is God creating in you a clean heart. That's the evidence of what he can do for you. And he can do it for each one of us, if we're willing to let him. It does. So we've got to ask ourselves, what's in there? What is in our hearts? What do you want in your heart? In the natural, you have to look after your heart. Because if you don't look after your heart, it can get clogged up. And your blood vessels can get clogged up. And you can get little blood clots whizzing around your body. And then blood clot stops your heart from pumping. And before you know where you are, you've got a little blockage there. And you've got a problem, you have a heart attack. And again, you know, I said it right at the beginning, if you have a heart attack and your heart stops working, you've had it. You've got a serious problem. In fact, you'll be seeing your maker quicker than you want to, perhaps. And just as we've got a physical heart, we've got our spiritual heart. The Bible calls the spiritual heart our inner man. And the inner man is the person within us, the true us, if you like. When I come out of the house, people will see me come out of the house, and depending on how I'm dressed, they'll think, oh, she's nicely dressed, doesn't she look gorgeous? If I'm doing the garden, they'll think, oh, look at that, we're a tramp. But you see, it depends, that's just by looking at what I'm wearing. And people will make a judgment on what you're wearing. Other people, as I said earlier on, will make a judgment by how clever you are. You know? When you're going into university, people see you going into the university thinking, ooh, clever, going to university. Not always necessarily true. When I was at university, I was in there, and boy, were there some thick folk there. And they weren't all, and all thick ones weren't all good students either. Yeah, precisely. I'll let you wear my robes, Andrew. When I graduated, Andrew and Grace came with me, didn't you, for the graduation ceremony. As soon as I'd let Andrew do one of my assignments, I'll let him wear the robes for a while. Yes, he did. He got an A star. I cooked his dinner, though, and I got an A star for cooking his dinner that day. You do that assignment and I'll cook your dinner. And it was a good plan. It worked very well. So we can have a heart attack in the natural, but we can also have a heart attack in the spiritual. Because sin will clog our heart up so that our spiritual man does not liaise with God as it should do. And it's up to us to make sure that that doesn't happen. It's up to us to make sure that we've got our clean heart. That God does, is allowed to create in us that clean heart. That we might be set free. We don't have to live in what we would call the prison of the past. We don't have to live in bondage. We don't have to live miserable lives. We don't have to live difficult lives. We might still be in the same circumstances that we were before, but we're not in it on our own. And I can honestly say that since I became a Christian, that even though I've faced probably more difficult situations than before I was a Christian, they've been much easier because I've not had to face them on my own. And when you don't have to face a difficulty on your own, it makes life easier. Those of you that are married know how easy it is to share it with your partner when you've got a difficulty. But if you're able to share it with your partner, it makes that difficulty less stressful, doesn't it? But some of us, like myself, that live on your own, where do I turn? As I said at the beginning of the service, I turned to Andrew. But Andrew ain't always there. Sometimes I'm at home. And yes, it might be at the other end of the phone, but what if it's 4 o'clock in the morning? It wouldn't be fair to ring, would it? Now, if it was really, really desperate, I would. But, having said that, 4 o'clock in the morning, I've got friends in America, I'll ring them. They'll be up. It's right. When my dad passed away, I found out at about 10 o'clock at night, and I'd been to Grace and Andrew's that day. I knew there was something wrong because I went home early. I never go home at 9:30, but that day I just felt uneasy. I need to go home. And I found out my dad had passed away. Now, the people that had come to tell me didn't leave till about 11:30. Now, I weren't going to ring them at 11:30 at night because, you know, they'd probably been in bed by then. Well, Grace had certainly been asleep anyway. So I rang some friends in America. I was just able to share with them for a little while, just for a bit of, you know, bit of comfort, bit of prayer. Then you can move on. But God is always there. Don't matter what time of day it is, God's always there. We now look at John chapter 3. And don't start guessing what verse I'm going to, because you'll not be right. John chapter 3 and verse 3. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5 says the same thing. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Born again. Nicodemus had a problem with this one. Born again. Look at me. Do you not think I'm a little bit too big to go back in my mother and be born again? She had enough problems when I was born, let me tell you. Feet first, cord wrapped round leg, and about 50 stitches later, I came out well, me. She knew she'd had me. But you've got to be born again, and it has got absolutely nothing to do physically. Being born again is being born of the Spirit and of water. Being born of God. Accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Being born into the kingdom of God. Unless you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, unless you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, not your head, come into your heart, unless Jesus is in there, you have not been born again. You can come to church every Sunday. You can read your Bible every day. You can pray as long as you like, but unless you've said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, I want to be born again, or I want to be saved, or just invite him into your heart, or whatever word you want to call it, unless you've received Jesus and crowned him as Lord of your life, you are not a born-again Christian. You are not set free. You are not in the kingdom of God. You have to receive Jesus in order to be able to receive his blessings and his benefits. You have got to be born again. The Bible says ye must be born again. And then we go to where Ken started pinching the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Do you want to be a new creature? Do you like the old you? Do you like the old person that you were like before you came to know Jesus? All right. Do you want to be a new creature? Do you want to be set free? Do you want your old life to be passed away? Do you want all things to become new? Who knows, it's nice to have new clothes on. Isn't it nice when you've got new things? Sometimes it's comfortable to have your old stuff around you that you've had for years. You know, it's comfortable, you know, your old scrubby clothes, your comfortable t-shirt, you know, your baggy jeans. You know, it's nice to scruff out and chill out. But do you know, you still feel better when you've got your new clothes on. You feel nice in your scruffs, but you feel much better when you've got your new clothes on. When you've got your best togs on and you're going out all smart. Have you noticed you walk differently? Yeah. When you go out in your old jeans, you know. You don't walk out like this with your best suit on, do you? You know, when you're kicking it round and you're going to the supermarket, and you're walking behind your trolley and you're dragging your shoes. Especially when you see the price of some of that stuff, you know. You're shoving your trolley around because you're in your old togs. But if you've got your new stuff on and you have to go to the supermarket, I bet you'd push trolley different that day. I bet you've got a straight back. And I bet you... You're probably not quite as... But you know, you're different. And we should be different when we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. People should be able to see that we're different. A number of years ago, when I moved out, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I gave some of my old furniture to some colleagues. They'd just moved to this country from Jamaica, and all I knew was that they'd come from Jamaica. They'd got no furniture in the house, and I said, well, I'm chucking stuff out, so if you want it, you can have it. Hired a van, and Andrew drove the van, and Andrew can witness to what I'm telling you is true, and we took the stuff to their house. I'd never met her husband, but her husband had a gentle spirit. Her husband was different. And we said at the time, if he's not a Christian, he ought to be. You know, he was a Christian. Can people tell that we are born again? Can they tell that we are different? Or do we look just like them? Are we the same as the world? But are we different? In here we're different. In here we're different. But can they tell? Are you that different that you make a difference? Or are you just like them? Does it not matter? As long as you are alright, is it alright? Or are you willing to put yourself out a little bit and be different? Because ultimately, there's a world out there that's dying. Yeah. That's going to hell. That don't know the truth, and they think they've got it all made. They've got this gay pride march going on. Gay pride, not pride, it's rebellion. It's not a gay pride march they're having, it's a gay rebellion march. God did not create people to be like that. And I am not anti-gay. Don't get me wrong on this. I have been working in situations where colleagues have been on what we would call a different persuasion. Right? I've even had friends that were gay. But you don't have to like and approve of the lifestyle. It's the person, you want to love the person. Because unless people love these people, unless people befriend these people, they're never going to come into the kingdom of God and get free from that lifestyle. And they need our help and they need our support. They don't know it because, as they say, it's pride, gay pride. Well, we all know where pride comes from, don't we? Pride was there right at the beginning in the Garden of Eden when Satan said, I'm going to exalt my throne above God's. So every time you see something prideful or rebellious, it ain't from God and it isn't from his kingdom. So as soon as you have a gay pride march, you know that you've got a gay devil march. So whenever they have a gay pride march, I always pray that it chucks it down. Let them get all wet through. Let them have a miserable day. I don't want them to enjoy the day. I want them to be miserable. I want them to come into the kingdom of God. Why should they enjoy the blessings of God? What they really need is to be set free, to get out of that lifestyle and be whole. Because some of them have adopted that lifestyle, not because they were born with a sort of genetic persuasion like that. They just thought it was a nice lifestyle. Oh, let's try this. You don't try that.
No.
Try righteousness.
Amen.
Try freedom.
Yeah.
Try God.
Yeah.
Try holiness.
Yeah.
Try the truth.
Yeah.
Try righteousness. Do you want to be whole? Try being whole.
Amen.
So, we're in Corinthians, aren't we? So, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, if you're in Christ, you are a new creature. Do you want to be a new creature? Do you want to get rid of your old life? Is your old life nice? Is it satisfying you? Is it a great old life? Is it a good old life? Do you want a new life? Psalm 51. Let's find out how to have a new life then. Psalm 51. And even when we're born again, it doesn't hurt us sometimes to re-establish a new life, a new lifestyle for ourselves, because it's easy to pick up the old habits. Psalm 51, done that, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. And we're back at verse 10 again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Unless we put ourselves in a position where God can cleanse us and set us free, we end up going back into that old vicious circle of a rubbish lifestyle where we get problems and difficulties, and where things take over from us. So let's find out then how we can be free. Romans 10. If you want to know the secret of how to find Jesus, this is it. If you don't know, now's a great time to tune in carefully. Listen very, very carefully. Romans 10, and starting at verse 8. The word is that is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That wasn't hard, was it? So, if you need to know Jesus, you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. When Jesus died at the cross, when he was crucified, we always celebrate that round about Easter time, we believe that 3 days after he died, he rose again from the dead with the keys of death and hell, and he rose victorious. And because of that, because of his victory over sin and evil, at that point, we no longer have to make sacrifices of animals ourselves. All we have to do is call upon the name of Jesus, believe that God did this, and we can be set free from our past. Do you want to be set free from your past?
Yeah.
Is your past great? Do you want to leave it behind?
Yeah.
This is how you do it. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that God raised him from the dead. And that then you will be saved. Because with the heart, mankind, don't think when it says man it doesn't mean women as well, mankind, man can be saved. Man can be set free from the past. I'm going to hop to Hebrews 11 now. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you want to please God? Have faith. That was easy, wasn't it? Do you want to please God? Have faith. What do you have to have faith in, though? Get your faith in the right place. Have faith in God. And have faith in what God can do. I have faith when I go home that when I turn that switch on that my light's going to come on. It's a different type of faith. But when I pick my Bible up and I have faith in what it says in here, a different sort of light comes on. Light comes on in here. Right? Different sort of light. Different sort of experience. In verse 1 of the same chapter, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance. You think about faith as being something way out there with the fairies, don't you? Just faith is something you can't touch. But faith has substance to it. If you don't have faith in God, or if you don't have faith that something's going to happen, 9 times out of 10 it doesn't happen. If you have faith that something is going to happen, God can change things around. Might not happen how you want it to happen, but God can make the situation right.
Amen.
Have faith in God. Put your trust in God. I don't know what difficulties people are facing this afternoon, but I know that people have. I know that people have got difficulties, and I know that people have got problems. And I know that in some cases you're wondering, you know, which way to turn. I'll tell you where to turn. Turn to Jesus.
Amen.
Only Jesus can meet your need.
Yeah.
Only Jesus can solve your problems. Only Jesus will be with you no matter what.
Yeah.
When your friends let you down, and they do from time to time, when your partners let you down, when your employers let you down, when your neighbours let you down, when your cat doesn't come home, when your dog starts barking when you want him to be quiet, you know, when things are not going your right, when things are not right, God will not let you down. Your heart's condition will reflect your eternal position. The condition of your heart will tell us and tell yourself where you will eventually spend eternity. If you want to spend eternity with God and with his people, or do you want to spend eternity with the devil and all his minions and tow rags and horrible people? Not that I'm biased. I'd hate you to get the impression that I was biased. But I know how to be free. And to be free, you need to be on the right team. Amen. And who knows that if you're on the right team, your team always wins.
Yeah.
So if you want to be on God's team, I don't know. If you want to be on God's team, you don't run away. You stay on God's team. Right? If you want to be on God's team, you're going to win. You can't lose. Things might not look great even when you're on God's team at time. But you don't lose. You always win. As I said, it might not always be the way that you want it to happen. But you always win. Everything that happens according to God's plans and purposes is ultimately for your good. Does our speech and our behaviour mirror Jesus? You know, you can have mouth confession. This was profound when I wrote it down, right? You can have mouth profession without heart confession. You know, you can come to church week after week. And in olden days, I used to. When I grew up, I had a grandmother that used to make me go to church. Right? And she went, I had to go to church whether I liked it or not. That was the way you were brought up. You had to go to Sunday school. Oh, it was great in olden days. You had to go to Sunday school in the morning. Then you had to sit through morning service. Then you went home. Then in the afternoon you had to go to Sunday school. Then you'd have your tea. Then your mother would say, oh, we're going to church tonight. Oh, great. Can I have a wait, mother? Bring it on. But you know, church was boring. There was no life there. If it had been great and full of life, we'd have enjoyed it, wouldn't we? If the truth had been taught how to be set free, it would have been great. But when I was a kid, church was boring. And I hated it. But you see, to all intents and purposes, Helen went to church, so she was a Christian. Absolutely fabulous Christian I were. To all intents and purposes, Helen went to church. Didn't make me a Christian. As Billy Graham said, going to church don't make you a Christian any more than sleeping in a garage makes you into a car. It doesn't. Coming to church don't make you into a Christian. You like that one, didn't you, Andrew? Coming into church does not make you a Christian any more than sleeping in a garage makes you into a car. And I could sin with best of them. I had Christian friends. And I went to church. And unfortunately, I can tell you now, they're not here, but a lot of my Christian friends at that time, I were a better Christian than them, and I were a stinking heathen. And they were professing things, and they were coming, they'd stand up, they'd give the testimony, how they loved Jesus. And I'm thinking, phew, you weren't saying that last night in pub. And what a clean life we do. And I don't believe in sex before marriage. Sure. You're having me on. You only last month you were telling me you thought you were pregnant because you weren't, you know. So how come that happened? It weren't because you were ill, you were wondering. And I believe that thou shalt not steal. You were just telling me what you nicked at the supermarket a few hours ago. And ha ha ha, this is how I did it. You got to watch them cameras. And you see, I lived and I worked and I was friends with these people and they were telling me that they were Christians and I knew what they were living like and I knew they were a bunch of liars and a bunch of thinking hypocrites. Being a Christian means that you're different.
Amen.
And we have got to be different. And we must be reflecting what we actually are. You can, what I was saying was, you can confess with your mouth, which is what they were doing, but in the hearts were not confessing the same thing. In the hearts, they were dirty, stinking liars, and sinners, and heathens, and on the way for hell. But the mouth, they sounded so holy and so righteous. But they weren't. The lives did not match up. And it's possible to believe in your head and confess with your mouth and your heart not be complete and pure because it's not fully surrendered to him. And we all need to make sure that our hearts are fully surrendered to him. Be we Christians or not this afternoon, make sure that our hearts are fully surrendered to him in every area. Because, you know, the devil sometimes will set traps for us. And it's easy, you know. in all innocence, that you start doing things, and before you know where you are, you're thinking, how did that happen? Where did that come from? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Then you have to get in there and repent sometimes. But it's great, you know, when you can be set free. Psalm 139, verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and cleanse me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I ask you this afternoon where you stand. Where's your heart stand this afternoon? Where does your heart stand before God? If God was to say tonight, that's it, I'm coming back to the earth to fetch my children, would you be with them? Or would you be missing out? Would he be saying, uh-oh, you ran so well, but at the end you missed it? Are we all in that place where we need to be? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Are you in bondage this afternoon to something? Has something got you captive? Is something tripping you up? Do you want to be set free? I'm going to go through a few scriptures now rather quickly, and I'm not going to probably wait for you, because I want you to generally listen very carefully. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all come short of God's glory. There's not one of us in here that has not sinned. We've all failed. And failing brings a penalty. And that penalty we read of in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. Want to die? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. Being dead ain't no fun. Being alive is much better. If I was to say to you this afternoon, do you want to live or do you want to die? Majority of us in here are going to want to live. If you want to die, you're a depressed person. It's only when you're in depression or you're seriously ill that you start thinking, I wish I was dead. I've been there, I know. But normally, when you get the choice between living and dying, you want to live. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So if we want to live, we need to receive Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. So we know that we've all sinned. We all know what the penalty for sinning is. But in John chapter 3 and verse 16, it tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, through him, might be saved. Jesus ain't going to condemn any one of us this afternoon for what we've done. God and Jesus want you in his kingdom this afternoon. We all need to make sure that our hearts are right and that we are in his kingdom. Because Jesus died and paid such a terrible price, gave up his earthly life so that we might be set free. Mentioned this earlier on. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not difficult to become born again. It's not difficult to be set free when you are born again. We have to just confess our sins. We don't always have to say what those sins are. Certainly don't have to necessarily confess them to each other and say what we've been doing. Because, you know, in a lot of cases, it don't really matter what we've been doing, because it's 10 to 1 that you'll be confessing them to somebody else. I mean, Catholics are a case in point, and I'm not decrying the Catholics. The Catholics will go to the priest and confess what they've been doing wrong. Why they would be confessing to a man who's sinned in himself, I do not know. And that's not to get at the Catholics. You know, there's some faithful brothers and sisters that are Catholics. Some born-again Catholics, you know, that's living full out for Jesus. But going to a Catholic, you know, going to a Catholic priest and saying, I've done this, this and this, and then, you know, doing so many Our Fathers and whatever they do, does not cleanse you from sin. The way to be cleansed from your sin is to repent and receive Jesus into your heart. Amen. And say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I confess you with my mouth. I want to be born again. I want to be set free.
Yes.
I want this lousy, rubbishy life that I'm leading to be left behind, and I want to have a new life. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. In the last two verses, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, again, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you a whosoever? You this afternoon call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved.
Amen.
Your old life can be gone. There's a new life, an exciting life, a great life, a life that can give you something, you know, give you a future, give you something to get up for in the morning.
Amen.
Are you ready for that new life?
Yes.
Can you bow your heads, please? Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon. We thank you that you have given us the opportunity to be cleansed and to be set free and to be right with you this afternoon. Be with Christians or non-Christians at this moment, Father, I just pray that you might open up our hearts to receive your love. And that your peace might dwell in each one of us. That we might be set free to worship and praise you. And that we will all indeed, before we leave this place tonight, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You just keep your eyes closed a moment, please. If there is anybody in here right now who has never made that decision to live for Jesus, or who have made that decision in the past and have not stuck by it, if there's anybody in here right now that's prepared to say, I want to receive Jesus, my life's rubbish, I want to have a fresh start, I want to give Jesus a chance to create in me a purpose and a new life, I'm going to just ask you to just raise your hand so that I can see you. Then we can pray with you and somebody will have a chat with you later on. Would you be that person that's going to give your life to Jesus this afternoon? Is anybody going to be brave enough to make that decision? That's one. Is there anybody else? Two. That's wonderful. Three. Thank you, Lord. Four. Praise your name, Lord. You can put your hands down once you've done it. Is there anybody else? The best decision you've made. Decision for the future. The old is past, the new has come. Do you want to be set free? I'm just going to ask you one more time. I'm not going to prolong this because I don't believe in badgering people into the kingdom. You either want this or you don't. You either want Jesus or you don't. I'm not going to make it a long appeal. This is the last chance. Well, it's the last chance of asking now. It's not the last chance in your lifetime. All right, well, thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for these people that have indicated today that they want to receive you into their hearts. We just pray, Father God, that you will bring them into life, and that you will bring them into fullness, and that you will cause them to stand up and be the men and women that you've called them to be. We thank you for the decisions this afternoon. And we pray, Lord God, that you will indeed set them free to walk in newness of life. It will create in them a clean heart. Now, if you're feeling brave, you four people, would you like to come to the front and we'll pray for you?
You know, the Word of God says, and you must be born again.
Amen.
It's not a choice. If you want to know Jesus, if you want to know eternal life, if you want to know peace and joy in your life, then Jesus is the way.
Amen.
And he's the only way.
Amen.
There isn't another way. There's not another man. There isn't another system. Jesus is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's come to give you life today. And as you today have taken courage and said, I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong in my life. But today's the day when I acknowledge that and I confess my sins to the Lord Jesus. And it's about making the Lord Jesus the Lord in your life. He's first. Not your boyfriend. Not your children. Not your wife, not your husband. Any of those things. Jesus comes first.
Amen.
It's getting the right priorities. And when you put these right priorities in line, you will see that God will bless you with an abundance.
Amen.
And so as we do these things, you know, today we are welcoming you into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
We're, you know, the angels are rejoicing in heaven right now. You know, there's an absolute rejoicing. They're rejoicing here for what's happening. Praise God. Yeah, you can clap yourselves. It's great. You know, it takes courage to stand up and say, I'm in love with Jesus. It takes courage to say, I belong to Jesus. It takes courage to stand against the tide of this world that has a gay march and that says everything's okay. It takes courage to stand up and say, I belong to Jesus. And I have different standards. And I'm going in a different direction. And we're just going to pray for you right now. I'm going to bless you in Jesus' name for coming and asking the Lord Jesus. But guess what? This is the first step on the ladder. This is the first step on the way to eternal life. You've made a decision. Today, from now on, that decision now needs to be turned into you being a disciple. You have to be discipled. And do you know how we do that? You have to come to the prayer meeting and the Bible study that we have on a Wednesday. We won't be having it this Wednesday, but we teach the Word of God. And it is the Word of God that gives you strength. It is the Word of God that sets you free. But Jesus said, the truth will set you free. It's not just sticking your hand up and saying, I've made a decision. It means a constant walk. This is a change of lifestyle. This is what you're doing. Do you realize that? This is a change of lifestyle. You're going to turn, you're looking at yourself and saying, today I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different from now on. Things are different for me. Is that what you're doing? Is that what you're prepared to do? This is a challenge. This is not an easy walk. Just because you became a Christian today or made Jesus Lord of your life, it's easy. It's not. You become a target of the devil. But glory to God, he said, I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. You know, and you will always win. Praise God. Because I've read the end of the book. And it says, we win. Praise the Lord. And things are great. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Just grab hold of my hand. Every one of you. Grab all of our hands together. Father, in the name of Jesus,
thank you, Jesus.
We just thank you for these four souls that have given their hearts and their lives to you.
Amen.
And we welcome them, Lord, into your kingdom.
Amen.
And we call, Father, right now the divine blessings of peace and wholeness and strength. And Father, I pray that as they begin to see your word opening up, they will be quickened by it. And Father, you will repair all the damage that the world system and the devil has done in their lives. And that, Father, you will restore to them all that has been lost. And you will strengthen them and cause them to know your peace and your joy. And, Father, we just praise you this day that, Lord, there is a rejoicing in your kingdom. There's a rejoicing in heaven. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And we pray that these people shall know you in a greater way and a greater measure. in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Amen. Praise God.
As you stay close to me, as you stay focused on me, and as you draw near to me, you will know that I will never leave you, that I will never forsake you, and that everything that is planned against you, I will cause it to be of naught. For as you stay in my presence and as you stay in relationship with me, that I will cause you to prosper, I will cause you to see victory, I will cause you to see triumph, and you will see your enemies defeated. You will see those that come against you being slain, one to the left and one to the right, and one before you. And God will cause you to walk. Your Heavenly Father will cause you to walk through the disasters. And you will come out the other end, and you will come out as blessed. And they will look to you and say, blessed is those who are in the household of God this day. Blessed are those who know the power of the living God. And so this day I say to you, fear not, but Lord, the Lord would say to you, stay in my presence, stay in my presence, stay in my word, let my word cause you to grow in strength and know the power of my might amongst you for the sake of my name. And my name is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God Almighty. Amen.